The finest revelation of God's word is not in a deep teaching, but a changed life. Join Pastor Temiloluwa Ola as he takes you on a journey, unveiling God's word with practical life lessons.
Father, we come before you this morning. We ask, Father, that today let your word come with simplicity, yet with power, to bring understanding and shift our lives around forever. We give you glory, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the name of Jesus. All right, please, you may be seated this morning. Let's get into the word of the Lord right away. This morning I'm teaching on flames. Somebody say flames. So how to deal with strange attraction. How to deal with strange attractions, especially in marriage. How to deal with strange attractions, especially in marriage. I remember I wasn't married then, but I had a babe when I was in secondary school that we were childhood friends, and we used to exchange a lot of letters. She schooled somewhere in Iwo, interestingly. Our secondary school was in Iwo. And while I was in Eroa, but we used to write letters. So in case you miss out on the romance of writing letters, you missed a lot. Okay, when your letter have to travel to get to the location before it eventually comes back to, and then you get responses. That's the kind of love that is mature. You know, this Indomie love, now you send it to receive it. They've not replied in 5 minutes, you're already angry. Didn't you see my message? You know, 5 minutes. We used to wait for like a month. Before your letter gets there, it's like 3 weeks. Before you get the response, under 3 weeks. So we cultivated patience in love. Is that okay? You know, but some of you now, they didn't pick your call, now you're already angry. What if you not did romance in the days when there were no phones? If you know what we went through, you don't understand. I mean, you don't really understand. Amen. So we had that. And then, in the university, so then there was nothing, but we're pretty close. You know those kind of friendship now, secondary school friendship. I think they call it crush these days, but yes, you know. So we're pretty close. And then, in the university, actually, by my third year, I got into a relationship. And I think sometimes on that journey between my third and the fourth year, one day I was packing out things in my shelf in my room. And then I stumbled on this pack of letters. And then I sat with it and began to read the things we were saying to each other. At that point in time, obviously, I had her own, right? So I was reading the things that she wrote to me. And at that moment, it struck me that it's very easy. Get that water. Someone should stand up. No, please. You should care for one another. Amen. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
All right. So I knew at that moment that it's very easy for strange love, for flames, old flames, to come back alive. All I need to have old flames come back alive is to begin to feed on the same things that fed that old flame. Do you understand? So if I keep opening myself up to the old flames, it's just a matter of time. The old flames is going to do what, please? It's going to come alive. And even though it happened to me as a young person, not yet married, I believe what I'm going to be teaching today is going to be instructive, whether you are married or not. Is that okay? So let's begin. Proverbs chapter 5, from verse 15 to verse 23, in the Passion Translation. Proverbs 5:15 to 23. in the Passion Translation. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure media, you have my note though, so you have to check. You don't? Okay. Let me help you a bit so that my journey is also faster. Just a moment. Okay, now you do. All right. Praise God. All right, let's read it together. What does the Bible say? My son, share your love with your wife alone. We're going to take it calmly. My son, do what? Share your love with your... So, this already tells you that for this instruction to come, there is a tendency for you to share your love with somebody else. The reason why this instruction is coming is because by the flesh, you have a tendency to share your love with another person other than the person you are committed to in marriage. Do you get that now? So he says, share your love with your wife alone. Let's read on. Yes. Drink from our well of pleasure. Let's read on. Yes. From our well of pleasure. Yes. And from no other. All right. Go on. Verse 16. Why would you have sex with a stranger and with anyone other than her? All right. Is this Bible? Good. 17. What are you saying? Reserve this pleasure for you and I alone, and not with another. Yes. Go on. Your sex life will be blessed as you take joy and pleasure in the wife of your youth. All right. Verse 19. Let her breast be your satisfaction. This does not need any interpretation. Does it need any deep revelation? Good. Let's read on. Yes. And let her embrace do what? Intoxicate you at all times. So you can't be tapping current all over the place. One current is enough. Take that high voltage and be fine. Is that okay now? All right. What does it say next? Be continually delighted and ravished with her love. Yes. Go on. 20. My son, why would you be exhilarated by an adulteress, by an embracing a woman who is not yours? Go on. 21. For God sees everything. Help me look at someone beside you. Say, God sees everything you do. Look for another person. Say, God sees everything you do. All right. Go on. His eyes are what? Wide open as he observes every single habit that you have. God observes what? Every single habit you have. Is that okay? Go on. Beware that your sins don't overtake you and the scars of your own conscience become the ropes that tie you. And that's what happens. We're still going to get there when I begin to show you consequences of it. And verse 23, the final one, yes. Those who choose wickedness, how do they die? They die for lack of self-control. So one key ingredient that you need here is what? Self-control. Whether you're single or you're married, what do you need, please? Self-control. For what? Their foolish ways lead them what? Carrying them away as what? Hostages, kidnapped captives, robbed of destiny. Amen. So let's begin by saying to us that the flesh has the tendency to be unfaithful. The flesh has what, please? The tendency to be unfaithful. In Hebrews 13 and verse 4, in the NLT, the Bible says that you should give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. So the flesh has the tendency to be what, please? To be unfaithful. And it says God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit what? Adultery. Now, right after you say, I do, there is a tendency to meet someone who seems better than your spouse. It happens all the time. I'm telling you the truth. All right. The moment is just like sometimes you go, how many of you have gone to buy something before? You were longing for that thing. Then the moment you bought it, you took it home. And then you went out to the market the next day. Maybe a gold chain or something. You saw one and said, if I'd waited though, maybe I would have gotten this one. Anybody like that?
Yes,
good. All right. It's one of the lines that married men use when they want to cheat. All right. They say, if I'd waited, you know, you would have been my wife. All right, you know, it's one of those lines that married men use, you know, and it tells you that there is a tendency in the flesh to still have attraction, because attraction is actually normal. Is all right now? Attraction is what? Is normal. Okay, but how you deal with it and how you handle it can determine whether it's going to wreck you or it's going to be a blessing. Is that okay now?
Yes,
all right. So, the flesh has a tendency to be unfaithful. I'm sure if I ask Pastor Ronke that after she married me, has she seen someone fine now? She probably have. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? All right. That's the honest truth. Okay. And then, have I seen someone fine now? Yes, probably. Okay. You always encounter people. What keeps you is not excitement. It is commitment. It is what, please? It is commitment. It is commitment. It is commitment. Okay? Sometimes it's the fact that you are in close proximity to someone, and that can be the trigger point. All right? Someone walking in your office. All right? I had the story of, I'm sure you had this, I think it was Papa Debo that shared it, about one of his sons in the faith who came to him and told him that he likes going to the office. I like walking. And Baba said, why? He said, because I like seeing my secretary. And my father said, go and sack her. All right, go and do what? Sack your secretary. Go and sack your secretary. Why is that so? There is a tendency, no matter how anointed you are, to be attracted to someone. All right, I remember the year that Pastor Ayo and Pastor Pe were to go on a training, and they were recommending someone to stay in the office while they were away. And they recommended one of my daughters, amazing daughter. And then I told them outrightly, no. Why did I tell them no? All right, she's super effective. Do you understand what I'm saying now? She's what? Super effective. And, you know, see, there is a tendency for you to be attracted for someone who sees you, who sees what you need before you need it. Do you get it now? And the trap of anyone who loves effectiveness is any lady or any guy who is very effective too. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So I told them, I said, no, I can't work with her. All right, she's the kind of person that when she's done, she will still ask, is there any other thing you want me to do? All right, she's that effective. Okay, before you cough, by her training, she already knows what you need. So I told her, I said, no, I'm not going to work with her. All right, get somebody else to work in the office. And I think that was the time you got, is it Richard Akonwo or someone? I think Richard stayed there, or someone else who also stayed. But the point is, there is an attraction. Is that okay now? And it's better to deal with the attraction when he's still young. When he's still what, please? When he's still very young. Okay? And sometimes, it is pure ignorance that leads some people to being unfaithful. Is what? Pure ignorance. One of it is assuming that because you are married, you can't be attracted to another person who is married. All right? It's pure joke. So you look at yourself and say, at least we're married. It's not a big deal now. Okay? It is just what, please? A pure joke. All right? It's just a pure joke. Praise the name of Jesus. Attraction is real and attraction is powerful. Okay? In the book of Proverbs chapter 7 from verse 5. Proverbs chapter 7 from verse 5 in the NLT. The Bible says, let them protect you from an affair, all right, with an immoral woman. Now, the immoral woman there, the Bible says strange woman. Okay, let it protect you. So there's a protection that can come from these strange flames, from listening to the flattery of a promiscuous woman. All right, and it could be a man too. Is that all right now? Then he says in verse 6, say, while I was at the window of my house, looking through the curtain, verse 7, I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. Do you see that now? So, ignorance can lead people into traps. Is that okay now? Being naive can lead people into traps. All right? One of my friends told me the other day a statement, a person going to be a boss, one step ahead of him. All right? They were meant to be in a meeting for the first time. And the statement that the lady made, and it triggered him, and he stooped again. He said, you can't be speaking like that to me. We're in an office environment, all right? You cannot condescend and be talking like that. Is that okay now? All right. Although I told you, I said, you were bold though. Me, I was just going to be declaring that, what's this nonsense? Or not put my mind to it. But the point is the fact that it can happen anywhere. Is that okay now? All right. You know, sometimes it could be your desire for attention. Someone just keep calling you sweetheart, sweetheart. All right. Someone is commending you all the time. And you cannot even smell it from afar. All right. If you are single and you finish service and he's seeing you off, it's fine. We look forward to you getting married. But you are married and the guy wants to see you off. He's around your space, positioning himself around you all the time. And you say that he's just doing his thing. He's not just doing his thing. He's an hunter. Does that make sense to you?
Yes,
or the ladies just all around you. You know, it is always you that you will pick up from the office. You know, hey, you know, when you're going, I would like to go with you. All right? And conversations go on in the car that tends to certain things, and you say that it's just not a big deal. No, you are being naive. Is that okay now? All right? And we must not be naive. All right? So, there is protection from these strange flames, and that's where I want to start from. Okay? You can be protected from what? From strange flames. Praise the name of Jesus. In Proverbs 6 verse 24, in the KJV now, you can go to KJV now. Proverbs 6 24, it says to keep thee from the evil woman. That means that you can be protected from strange flames. You can be protected from strange attractions. It says from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. All right, now, this is very important. Go to verse 25. So there is protection. Somebody say there is protection. Say I can be kept from strange attractions. Now, look at it. And look, I said from the flattery. So, in verse 25, it says, lust not. Somebody say, lust not. So, the first thing that you need to understand if you are going to be protected is that you should call it what it is. What should you do? Call it what it is. Lust. Alright? Call it what it is. Don't try and explain it away. Call it what it is. It is, call it what? Lust. All right, don't say, oh, I'm just into that lady. You are not into her, you are lusting after her. Oh, I'm just into that guy. You are not into the guy, you are lusting after the guy. Call it what it is, lust. Call it what it is, lust. All right, and look at the next thing it says there. Lust not after her beauty, and it could be his handsomeness. All right, so it could be what's the word to use now? Gender balance. Do you get it now? Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with what? With her eyelids. Now, the next thing is that do not feed that emotion. Don't feed it. Don't feed that emotion. I think it was a spiritual mom that shared the story of someone, and I think she was actually the wife of a pastor. If I remember, she was wife of a pastor that she had a colleague at work who would normally just commend her and say things. It didn't take too long. She said it didn't take too long for her that when she's dressing up, she now wants to dress up not for her husband, but for the commendation of that colleague at work. And you see, these things are subtle. But it could be like that. So now when you dress up and you look at yourself in the mirror, who comes to your mind? Are you dressed to the glory of God or for the commendation of Godwin? Do you understand what I'm talking about here? All right, so you need to be sure. So you stand there, and this is a married woman. Just because she just said, there is that attraction. So you begin to feed the emotions there. All right, you need to cut it off. You need to cut it off. You can't be available for chats. You can't be available for conversations. Cut it off. If possible, avoid seeing the person. Don't feed it. Avoid seeing the person if it's possible. And if you have to see the person, stay formal. Avoid familiarity. Is that okay now? Avoid what? Familiarity. And don't try to be too cordial. Avoid familiarity. Don't try to be too cordial. Be official. Be very official. There are times that intentionally you have to be cold to the person. Good morning. Good morning. All right, say good morning, sweetheart. Good morning, Kunle. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? All right, sometimes you have to put good morning. Let's say it's me now. Oh, good morning. Oh, sweetheart, I can say good morning, Mrs. Ajiboye. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? Do you get the formality? You address the person formally. All right, you do. All right, go on to verse 26. Verse 26. And number 3 is that you think about the consequences. What do you think about, please? The consequences. So let me mention how many consequences there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Let's quickly trace 5 consequences. Quickly. Verse 26, Proverbs 6:26. It says, "For by means of a Orish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread." Do you see that now? A man is brought to what, please? To a piece of bread. Now, what does that tell you? All right, it simply means that you are reduced to nothing. If you think about the consequences of those of that action, at the end of it, such a man and such a woman is reduced to what, please? To nothing. How much is a piece of bread? Not a loaf of bread. A version calls it crumb of bread. So even if a loaf of bread is 1,005, all right, how much is a crumb in that loaf? It's not up to a naira. Do you understand? Because out of a whole loaf, you can get about over 1,500 crumbs. Am I right? So if you do like that, you've reduced yourself basically to nothing. That's one of the consequences. All right. The other thing that is also a consequence is that you lose the ability to make progress. What do you do, please? You lose the ability to make progress. Now go to verse 28 and 29 because of time. Verse 28 and 29. The Bible says that can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burnt? He says, so is the man that goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. Now, think about it. If you remove your shoes now and you begin to walk on hot coals, how fast can you walk? Alright, you know the pain. Even though the pain, we want you want to move fast, but you can't sustain it. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? You can't sustain it. You can't sustain it. It's painful. Alright, it's painful. And if you sustain that kind of an injury and you now want to walk normally, what begins to happen to you is tougher too. Does that make sense to you now? So you see, such a person, you reduce your ability, you begin to lose your ability to make progress. So you see that a man or a woman who is caught with the wrong flame or caught in adultery, they have pegged their own life. Is that okay now? They've pegged their own life. For instance, there are pastors who have been caught in the trap of adultery and then the ministry came down in one day. Is that okay now? One day, all right, the famous golfer Tiger Woods, do you remember him? All right, Tiger Woods, when he was caught there, he didn't take long. Every deal was withdrawn. A lot of things were being lost. Why? He was caught in adultery. Does this make sense to you? All right, the third consequence there is that it is simply foolishness. What is it, please? Foolishness. And it destroys your soul. Proverbs 6:32. But whoso committed adultery with a woman lacks understanding. So it's foolishness that destroys the soul. Somebody say, it is foolishness that destroys the soul. It says, he that doeth it destroys his own soul. You destroy your soul. All right. And in verse 33, the next consequence is that you wound yourself and lose honor. You wound yourself and do what? And lose honor. Remember, there was a songwriter then when I was in the university that sang the song, "You Go Wundo." And some of those things were things that were actually warning you in advance. Is that okay now? When you are caught in the trap of strange flames, you wound yourself. You wound yourself. I've shared with you the story of Gideon before. All right. Gideon had 70 sons, remember? All right. And then at the peak of his life, he took on a concubine. And that concubine gave birth to a son. After the death of Gideon, that son, in alliance with his mother's family, he wanted to take over rulership. Alright, what did he do? He hired thugs, they financed it, and he went to his father's house and killed 69 of those sons in one day. 69. Alright, he killed 69. It's a wound. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? It's a wound. You lose honor. It's a wound. Praise the name of Jesus. And finally, Proverbs 23 and verse 27 is that you get into a trap that becomes hard to come out from. You get into a trap that becomes hard to come out from. Alright, Proverbs 23:27. It says, for a awe is a deep ditch. Alright, deep ditch. Deep gun, do you understand? It's a deep ditch. And a strange woman is a narrow pit. That is, once you enter, you find it hard to do what, please? To come out. Once you enter into it, it is hard for you to do what, please? To come out. Alright, so there are people who have been caught in that kind of trap and they are struggling today to come out of it. So it's better for you not to start it. It is what, please? It is a trap. It's better not to start. It is better not to start. Praise the name of Jesus. Number four. How do you protect yourself from strange flames? Don't forget the covenant. Don't forget what? The covenant. And don't despise the guidance of the Spirit. Don't forget the covenant. Alright? Proverbs 2 and verse 17. The Bible says, which forsaketh the guide of our youth and forget the covenant of our God. Once you forget, you will forsake. Once you forsake, you will forget. The moment you forsake the leading of the Holy Spirit, you forget the covenant you have with God. Is that okay now? So, make sure that you don't forget the covenant. Number five. Now, it's getting serious now. Proverbs 2 and verse 16. Proverbs 2, 16. The Bible says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger, which flatters. Somebody say flattery. So, number five. Do not flirt. Don't flatter. Don't flirt with anyone. Alright? You know there's a way you can flirt with people. Is that alright now? You know there are times Pastor Ronke says to me, thank God you are born again. Because of things I used to say to her. Say, thank God you are born again. She'll be saying something, I'll respond in a different way. Say, thank God for Jesus in your life. I can flirt with my wife, but I should not be flirting with another woman. Is that okay now? He said, don't flirt. Don't flatter anyone. In Proverbs 7 and verse 5, he says that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatters with our words. Proverbs 5, 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. Is that okay now? All right, don't flirt. Don't flatter. All right, and when in these days, we're in those days where it's very easy to flirt with people. All right, you can just throw things out there, say things, and then for a man, it's called you are leading on the woman. You flirt with her so much, she begins to fantasize like, okay, maybe it's coming. And you know you are not coming anywhere. But you are just enjoying carrying the entire 5-6 stars in the fellowship along. You are leading everybody along. But you know that you don't have any business eventually with any of them. You just enjoy the way they light up when you say certain things to them. You say, no, I'm only helping their ministry. Ekwele. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? Alright, no, that's not it. You must be disciplined. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Number six, I'm moving fast because of time. Are you being blessed? Are you being blessed? It's a serious topic. That's not very serious. Can I say I'm very serious? Is he helping the singles too? Those of you caught in, is he also helping you? Number six, this is for the married. Put your investment in your wife or your husband. What should you do, please? Put your investment in your wife or your husband. The only reason why the grass looks green on the other side is because somebody is watering it. Someone is doing what, please? Watering it. The only reason why the fire on the other side looks like it's burning real fine is because somebody keeps adding wood to it. Someone keeps adding wood to it. Is that okay now? If you look, you know, some people say, oh, you know, the only person I can date is a married man. Married men know how to take care of women. That's nonsense. That's a devilish thought. Is that okay now? That's a devilish thought. Now, the only reason, all you need to go and check is check the before picture of that married man. Some of us that are married today, you need to see our before picture. Alright? If they project my before picture now, you will laugh. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? But somebody has been watering that garden. Alright? I've let communication by relating with one person. Do you understand that now? Alright, I've learned how to be committed by relating with one person. I've learned the dealings and the seasons of a woman by relating with one person. So that same man who wants to trick you brings out all that entire tool that he has learned in relating with that one person and begins to use it on you. And say, married men are amazing. Or a married woman is amazing. Because it could be other ways, interestingly now. Do you understand that now? All right. But you have to make up your mind. all right, and say that I will put my investment in where? In my woman. I'll put my investment in my husband. The entire, when attention is divided, it is diluted too. But the moment you can carry all that attention that you are using to receive phone call, that your wife cannot be there or your husband cannot be there, if you carry that entire attention and you give it to one woman, she will blossom. You carry that entire attention, you give it to one man, she is going to blossom. It's going to blossom. So carry it and invest it in your spouse. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
For scripture's sake, Proverbs 5 from verse 15 to verse 17. We read it already. Drink water out of your own well. Alright? Share love only with your wife. That was our text. Is that okay now? Don't share to a stranger. So invest. Put in marriage, you can put all your eggs where? In one basket. All the eggs must be in one basket. Number 7. Build friendship with your spouse. Do what? Build friendship with your spouse. Philippians chapter 2. I believe verse 2 in message version, he says, be deep-spirited friends. Philippians 2:2 in message version says, be deep-spirited friends. See, in marriage, friendship must be there. Now, there are people who are married today, but they are no longer friends. Alright? They are no longer what? They are no longer friends. They are married, but there is no friendship. That's why you see people who are married for 35 years still divorced. Alright, the moment their last born leaves the house and gets married, they realize that they were not never bonding. Is that okay now? Alright, what happens to most people in marriage is the fact that when children begin to come, instead of the children lining up behind the wife or behind the father or beside the father, they line up in between the father and the mom. The simplest way to know is that when you give birth to a child, when you want to put the child on bed, where does the child sleep? In the middle. There is a way protection can become dangerous. Is that okay now? So we say in our marriage, when our daughters are around us, we say there is marriage time and there is family time. We used to tell them, you are not a part of the marriage. You are a part of the family. It is marriage before family. Oh, we want to stay with you. No, you can't be here now. When is family time, we will call you. When is marriage time, it's just the two of us. Is that clear? So be friends. Be what, please? Be friends. When you are friends, friends talk a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Talk a lot. Who was there yesterday when Pastor Anke came back from retreat? Who was there? How did I behave? I was talking to someone in the office. I only heard her voice in person. I knew this is the voice of the woman that I loved. I didn't even take any permission. I jumped up from my office, ran outside. I broke all protocol. Do you understand what I'm saying now? All right. Interestingly, we still saw on Friday. Amazing. We saw on Friday. In fact, we had spoken on phone that morning, that Saturday morning, around 2 a.m. We spoke on phone. Okay. But that's the power of being friends. We're friends. Do you understand? We're friends. You know, how many of you have friends that you have gist, but you cannot wait? Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? If your friends call you, just wow, plans they change. Bro. Do you understand? While she was in camp, I called her, I said, just wow. She said, tell me now, what's up? I said, go and rest. We'll talk about it. You are coming home now. We'll talk about it. That's the power of being friends. You talk a lot. All right, you talk a lot. You can't say, oh, we're married and you're not talking. Say, cousin got a face. Then why did you get married in the first place? All right, you're going to talk a lot. Alright, to build your friendship, sometimes you need to take a walk together. If it's not taking a walk, you can take a drive. Alright, you think when myself and Pastor Uncle, you think when we're talking spiritual things, well, you just think we're analyzing the sermon for today. Eh? We're spirit beings. And it's just spiritual, you know. We just talk about the sermon for today. Alright, no, she's hearing this sermon for the first time. Have we spoken about this sermon? No. I've not spoken about the sermon, no. So don't think that's all we talk about. And not say, okay, well, you know, as I preach on Sunday, this is what I'm going to teach and all that. No. She's my safe place. I can say anything I want. Do you hear me now?
Yes,
we gist. That's why when we want to travel, we don't like people going with us sometimes. We like traveling alone. The entire 5 hours of a trip, what do? We gist. And we always love it.
All right, we always love it. So that's very important. All right, take a walk together, play games together. Is that okay now? Play games together, plan vacation. I said this last week. Plan vacation. If you can't do vacation, do vacation. One day out. If you can't do vacation, do staycation. Stay at home and do something for yourselves. All right, but at all costs, plan something. Plan something. And whatever you don't have a plan for does not get done. Is that all right now? Yes. Plan something. I'm looking forward. I'm planning that. Okay, I've been praying about it. That we've been working a lot. Babe, we need to have some time out. And we're already looking at our calendar. When can we sneak out? And just go and have some time. Because every time you do that, there is a refresher. Is that okay now?
Yes,
sir. All right. How many of you have had systems before? Or phones that used to hang? When it's hanging, what do? You refresh. All right. If it does not refresh, you shut it down. You reboot. There are some marriage that are already hanging. Do you understand? Romance is hanging. Hey, deep morbidity tele. You are just having small fights. No, be friends. All right. You need refreshing. All right. You need what? Refreshing. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
As part of friendship. Okay, and because the Bible talks about this in the book of Proverbs 5, so I can talk about it. About the fact that you have sex only with your own wife. But the truth about it is that sex life in marriage is going to be difficult where friendship is also lacking. Alright, some of you are already still behaving like some people in those days. Or you never see your parents play together, or talk together, or peck each other, or say, you just know that they shall have baby. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? All right. No. We are in each other's space. Praise the name of Jesus. So in marriage, when the friendship is solid, you can have planned sex. You can have impromptu ones. All right. You can have reconciliatory ones. That is, you fight and you reconcile as friends. All right. You know, people out. I'm talking to married people now. In case, do you get it now? Number 8, build fences. What should you do? Build fences. That is, you should have established protocols of interaction in your life. Establish what? Protocols of interaction. All right? Build principles. Have principles that will help you. All right? Have principles. Have principles. Have principles. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
For instance, I have a principle, no matter how far it is, no matter where I'm going to preach, I always love to have at least one other pastor with me. By principle. Okay? By principle. Because in some places, some people are naive. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? They are what? They are naive. I just try my best, as long as it's in my power, to have at least one person with me. But there are some places I know if I'm going, and I know their system, I can go alone. Do you get what I'm trying to say now?
Yes,
I can go alone. Amen.
Amen.
I had a story. I think this one was even public. It was, what's his name? It was on Exponential. Pastor Emmy Davis was sharing about how he went for a conference in the East. He was speaking in a conference in the East. And then himself and his PA, they took a walk in the evening. And he came back. His PA is a man, not a woman. No. So he came back. And by the time he came back, he opened his hotel door and there was a woman on his bed. Yeah. So thank God his PA was with him. And there was a woman. And said they had to shout the roof down. Did you get what I'm trying to say now? All right. I've also had Dr. David Ogbeli also share about how he went to preach in South Africa. You must put protocols around your life. There is a system. Went to preach in South Africa. And then he said that the pastor, the host pastor, came to check him in his hotel room and all that. And then like a suit, all right. And the man left. But when he came by, I saw that there were two ladies still in his, he said, what are you looking for? He said, we're the ones waiting on you, sir. If there is anything you want, like what? You know, you can be tired after ministration. He said they ran out of his room and started screaming the pastor's name from the lobby. Come on, come and carry your package. Do you understand? He said it was after then that he made the decision that anywhere he's going, especially in a place that he does not know, All right, he would ensure that it is his own ministry people who cater. You first meet his ministry people. So if he's a woman, for instance, that is serving, you hand it over to his ministry people who will come and give it to him. You must build protocols around your life. Does that make sense to someone here? Or else, you will be there, sometimes unintentionally, but before you know it, you are making explanations you are not meant to make. You are saying stories you are not meant to say. There are times I've gone to places that after they book my flight, I'm the one who do my best to pay for the flight of the person going with me. It's intentional. Why is that so? Because of the protocols. Sometimes I also trust people there, but sometimes I just want someone around me so that you are also not alone. Because sometimes in a low moment, you can also enter traps. So build protocols around your life. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you now?
Yes, sir.
I was to preach in a church some years back, and then they called and they said that they are sorry. Are there people coming with me? I said yes. I said two other people will be coming with me. I said that's fine. And then they now said, I'm going to stay in this hotel, but those two other people are going to stay in a different hotel. So my own hotel was a bit pricey. That one was a little less pricey. So I told them, I said, take all of us to that less pricey hotel. We will stay there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? I don't want luxury that will cost me my destiny. So build protocol around your life. Pastor Ronke knows, if I'm ministering and I'm lodged in any hotel, you followed me to Lokoja. When we entered, the first thing I said is the fact that, I didn't tell them. When you book an hotel room, I said, don't book an hotel room that I will be seeing the swimming pool. Don't book an hotel room that I will be seeing what? That I will be seeing the swimming pool. I don't want to see the swimming pool. I said, it's not a big deal. For me, it's a big deal. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? All right, you know, people don't think about these things. But yeah, just it's not a big deal. That's how you be praying in tongues and open cotton. Oh, wow. Let us a seed has been planted in your head. Do you understand? Please, sister. Do you get? All right, so there are just some things. So you must just have protocols. Say, have protocols.
Have protocols.
Protocol is not just people, it's rules of engagement for your life. Have principles. It's not the day of trouble that you begin to think of the principle that we apply. The principles have already kept you safe. Is that okay now?
Yes.
Number 9. Magnify the good points of your spouse. What did I say? Good. Now you see, you know there's something they call the 80-20 rule, right?
Yes, sir.
Hope you know that I'm not perfect. So for instance, let me explain to you. There are things Pastor Ronke would like about me, and there are things you feel like, this guy is alright. And then there are things I would like about that, but there will still be a little. I would say, this babe, Do you get what I'm trying to say now? But do you know that it's possible for me, probably I'm relating with another person that has that 20% that she does not have. And hope you know that whatever is lacking in your spouse is what is magnified when you begin to relate to another person. So let's say, for instance, your spouse does not communicate well. He's not good with communication. All right, is the formal person, you know, how you doing and all that. He's great in other areas, but maybe he doesn't know how to really call you well or do something. But you have somebody in the office that, when you leave the office, I get home, Shotidele, you are home. You are still in traffic and the person is checking up on you. All right, there is a way the devil can magnify that 20% that you are finding in somebody else and make it look like 100%. Do you get the point now? And then you begin to view your spouse through that other person. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes for a man, it could even be the looks. Can we be sincere?
Yes, sir.
It could even be the looks. Maybe your wife has a smaller part in a particular area, and then you look at someone and say, Oluwa man dan yon sha. Okay? And before you realize it, you are beginning to wish. You see, it is a terrible thing. And I have to say this, because I just believe it's important. It's a terrible thing in marriage, for instance, for you to be getting intimate with your wife sexually, but you have the image of another person in your head. So she has only become a body for you to fulfill your pleasure. But in your head, you are sleeping with somebody else. I'm talking to men. I don't know whether it happens to women, but it happens to women too. All right? But I'm talking to men. We're talking about dealing with strange flames. So that if a strange thought crosses your mind, what do you do immediately? You deal with it. So that you don't get to a point where it now becomes a prayer point. All right? So the devil can deceive you by magnifying the little strength you see in somebody else, while you ignore the 80% that your husband has or that your wife has. Do you get that now?
Yes,
in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 28 and verse 30, the Bible says you should praise your spouse, praise your wife. It talks about the man praising the husband, praising the wife. Proverbs 31, 28 and verse 30. All right, it says, our husband praises her. Then it says, charm is deceptive. Beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. So you see, charm is deceptive. All right, so you can see beauty in someone. You better praise your wife until she looks beautiful to you. Does that make sense here?
Yes, sir.
And part of praising your wife means that you talk about their good points publicly. Talk about it. Talk about it. A lot of people who follow the devotionals, they don't know that my wife is Oyeronke. They only know as Irewa Mary, because that's the name I christened her with. Alright? And we talk about the strength of that union. If you follow the devotional, I'm talking about marriage. I'm writing on strengths, isn't it? You praise it. And there was a particular time, even before we married, there was a time I wrote 18 reasons why I love you to her. There was a time she clocked, she had her birthday, and I think I wrote it was 28, I said I wrote 28 reasons why I love you, and I gave it to different people to give it to her at different times of the entire day. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? 28 reasons why I love you. Why? You must praise your wife. When you sit down and reflect on it, you will think about it deeply. Then you realize that the person you are looking at is just 20% that the person has. It's just 20%. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So celebrate your spouse on normal days and on special days. Celebrate them. It doesn't have to be the fact that it's her birthday. Just celebrate. All right. There are some men that they've never put their wife's picture on their status except the day that the wife is doing birthday. Pastor, I am not talking about you. But do you understand what I'm talking about here? All right. Amen. You're just too formal. Amen.
Amen.
All right. No day. Just put, for no reason, just put her there. And say things. Let her. She checks other people's status and sees things. Let her check your own and also see things there. You say, I'm too busy. No. I don't really give it attention. Give it attention. Water your own garden. Amen.
Amen.
And days are just like that. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I understand that some of us probably didn't grow up in settings where there was a lot of outpouring of love. But you see, you also don't want to raise a family like the setting you came out from. All right? You don't want to. I mean, our daughters are so expressive. Okay, you see them, your husband's coming to you. I love you, daddy. You see, when I relate with children, I can know the atmosphere in their home. I can know. Like we had kids with us in August. When they left, we were having conversations and we said, this person. All right. The atmosphere in their home is like this. This person, there's still a little bit to work on. This person, there's this to work on. This person, there's. Because you will just know. You will know a child that is coming out of a warm home. All right. One of the young ones will walk to her aunts in the kitchen and say, well done. Well done. And hug them. Well done. She'll come to mama. Mama, thank you. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for taking care of me. I love you. At what age? That awareness is already there. All right? Those things, you already know that. Oh, it's a consciousness. is a consciousness. I told a married woman once, if you see their baby, baby's always like, I said, you will, this child, I said, if you are not careful, you won't have a joyful child in your hands. I said, I understand your marriage is going through storm for now, but don't transfer it to your child. There are things you must protect a child from. Do you get what I'm saying now? Yes. There are things you must do what? Protect a child from. Some of you were never protected from the hot arguments of your parents, from the issues that they had. As a matter of fact, sometimes when they have issues, you are the one they bring it to. Shori yai. Shori babai. You know, and then they pour the venom on you. And you don't realize that you are already being made into a sharp threshing instrument that has teeth to bite someone when you marry. So there are things that come out of default that you won't know is your default. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? You won't know. You won't know. You won't know is your default. Do you get it? There are times we've had conversations about default before. And say, this thing, we need to deal with it. I had my own default. You know, my person came back from a trip the other day and was saying, I said, Kai. She was now reminding me of things I used to do when we were very young in marriage. I said, He said, then you were just like your father. And I said, may God forgive you. Do you understand? But I knew. I knew. I could be, when I'm on a trip, I could be very serious. All right? I'm not the kind of person that if you're on a trip, if I carry you, then in the early days, and I say you want to brand somewhere to buy something, you're not buying something. It is where we're going to that we're going to. Do you get what I'm saying now? Now, I'm even the one that is encouraging her. No, darling, I think you will need that at home. Why don't you do this? Why don't you stop and do that? Oh, you're buying. Say you want to buy banana. Even on the express, buy banana. Banana call. That was my person. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? It was my default. All right? Then we used that ourselves as children. When you are traveling, my father, don't think about food. How many of you are dad like that? You can't think about food, though. Food. But at the point, it started changing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But we had made up our mind by then. But if you are the kind of person that if you eat, it used to turn your stomach, that means you should be prepared to do what? To fast. You will go and come back, the Lord helping you, without food. Alright? And sometimes when they now want to buy anything on the way, they now buy you banana and water. Do you understand what I'm saying now? How will you pass tantalizers in our days? Or tantalizers and Mr. Biggs that was getting popular. How will you pass tantalizers, Mr. Biggs? How the man will buy? In your mind, be like, Lord, can't you minister to this man? Because they become in the traffic. One issue is jasala. Is a salah food? I'm not at your age, sir. Buy me sweet things. Do you get what I'm talking about here? So some of it is not your fault. It's default.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
That's default. It's just default. Come and tell your sister in law once, sir. Let them just yaw to your neck.
Macho.
Macho. Just be macho. Macho all the time. You know, darling, I want meat pie. Meat pie, cup. You'll be sounding like Elkana. Am I not much more to you than 10 sons? Yeah, you call her Jenny's inside. It's not you want to eat. Buy her something. Amen. And some men can be so bad that you travel and you come back home. Not a thing. Not one thing. No. No. Kill them, nothing. Are you not happy to see me? They are happy to see you, but they need to also see you. Where's the proof that you went out? Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If I stopped here, were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
But let me quickly finish up because we have to teach other things. Number 10, build strategies of dealing with the weakness of your spouse. Build what, please? Strategies with the weakness of your spouse. But some people build what you call coping mechanisms to change. There are things you must cope with. Does that make sense to you now? While you are trusting God for your spouse to change, do you hear me now? Say, darling, today, start by, darling, I want to make a request, and please don't say no. By then, you already know, so you can't say no. How will I now know what you want to say? And please don't say no. Darling, please. It's not something evil. It's not something bad. It won't destroy us. I just want us to go out, eat, and talk. I've saved for it. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? Stop complaining that it doesn't take people. If you should be the one that wish to go out, you to take him out now. All right? It doesn't take people out to a bachelor family one year. That's how we always are. It doesn't take, no. While you are trusting God, and you'll be surprised if you take him out once, he may start, he will take you out again. You'll just be surprised. Because sometimes his mind does not just see it, he does not know it. It's not his fault. It is how they were raised. He didn't see his father taking his mother out. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? Yes, triangular life. Work, school, home. Work, church, home. Triangular life. That was all they knew. Do you get the point now? So they never saw it. Daddy and mommy are going out. If they are going out, they are just going for family meeting. Or if they go out together, they are going. No, there is no. So any picture that has not been seen cannot believe that. But probably you are coming from the kind of home where you saw your dad and mom do that. Then develop a coping mechanism by you doing what? Don't just suggest it. You've been suggesting it and it's not working. Say, I will work on it. It has not worked on it since. Now you carry it and do what? And do it. Does that make sense to you? All right. Your wife does not know how to dress. Okay? Start following her when she wants to select a dress. All right, when she buys a clothes, when she buys clothes, you're like, it is well. All right, until you retire, doesn't know what we go through. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? We're not saying you should dress like those in the world, but there is a way you appear that carries that radiance. Do you understand that now? Then you go with her. All right, go with her. One of my greatest times that I love is maybe when Mama has new clothes, all right? And she says, I said, oh, dress, let me see. Go and change again, let me see. All right, I love seeing it new. I love seeing new things. Is that okay now? All right, wait for me. Eh? I had that, but I won't tell them what you said. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? All right? That's what we do. It's friendship communication. All right? You know. Do you get what I'm saying here? All right, dress, let me see it. I love it. Wow, it's beautiful. It's lovely. Is that okay now? All right, don't complain that you don't like our briefs. Go and buy a new one. Abi? Buy a new one. Buy a new one. Spoiler. Eh? The one you like. Do you understand? If she likes grandma version, go and buy her a younger version. I said, darling, I brought you gifts from the Lord. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? Buy it for her. Scoping mechanism. Amen. If she complains of the house, or probably she doesn't know how to take care of the house so much, build your home, and then before you seek, maybe before you can get someone who can help, all right, be the help. Do you get what I'm saying here? Be the help. You know, maybe she, like initially when we first got married, and we still fight over that until tomorrow. Me, when I'm cooking, if I'm cooking anything, anytime I'm cooking, if I use one spoon, I will wash it immediately and put it there. Once I do this, I'll do it there. All right? Anything I'm doing, I'm just like that. All right? But for her, when she's cooking and she's using it, she's piling it up in the sink to be washed later. All right? At the end of it all, she can now wash it. Okay? Now, for me, even if I pile plates up, for instance, if someone eats amala and, you know, maybe there's a little vegetable in the plate and all that, as I'm taking the plate today, I will scrape it. So I will arrange all those dirty plates in order. There won't be anything inside. All right? But for her, she can just straight there, put another one on it. I will say, kilonche, tole scrape it. What that? That one, it will be easier to even help you. The plate will look romantic and inviting. But this one that you mounted everything, and it's not our fault. The way I overcame the laziness of washing plates. How many of you had those Sunday, plenty Sunday visitor? All right, Our plate, I go, I malabai. It used to be very irritating to me. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? All right, I really a gugun and be one day stack bugwe, you know, zinc, be. And they say, you are not the one. You're not check cross. I had the one washing today. In Jesus' name, it must not be me. Do you get what I'm saying here? All right, that was how I grew up. So the way I dealt with it was, when they are all eating, I won't eat. I will stay in the kitchen. They say, don't want to eat. I don't want to eat yet. Because I know when you are bringing your plate, you will just dump it anyhow. So I will collect it from you like a humble servant. Scrape what is there into the zinc. Wash it. Wait for the next person. Scrape it. Wash it. When I'm done, I will go and carry my food. I will enjoy my food that way. It's not the fact that I will finish eating. I will now see the what you have dumped. I will now want to vomit everything that I've eaten. That was my own coping mechanism. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? So when we got married, I started saying that. I said, hello, Shea. You know, and it became so interesting at the point that I will now wake up. There are days that in the night, I don't like seeing place overnight. So we fought over it in LA. And me, I'll be pressing for in the sitting room. I was just sitting there, you know, crossing my leg. I will eat the food. And then there's plate in the sitting room. I just told on myself. One night, I woke up around that 2, 3 a.m. that normally, and then I walked to the kitchen and I saw it. Like, over down mountain. Before Zerubbabel. But I just told myself, this thing is not going to be complained. You will meet it like that in the morning. So as I was praying, the Holy Ghost said, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying in tongues. He said, can't you pray in tongues? Why you wash those dishes? I said, those ones? I said, Holy Spirit, not me. But I summoned up and I went into the kitchen. I did it. Guess what? First day, she didn't say thank you. She came to the kitchen, she saw it, she didn't say thank you. Second day, she didn't say thank you. Third day, I now posted myself. It took like 3 days. I now posted myself like third day. I said, oh, Rikwem won't find a boy any. And now, later on, she now told me that she felt that I was using it to spite her. Can you see now? All right, that difference. But meanwhile, me, Emitoli Spirit, that was doing it in brokenness of heart. But I was expecting thank you. But that thank you did not come. Say thank you now. Say thank you now, my dear friend.
Were you helping me?
Can you imagine? Were you helping me? All right. You see, do you get what I'm trying to say here? Yeah? All right. Were you helping me? I was helping your life now so that the stress will reduce. So that the stress will reduce. Praise God. Well, you see, that was a coping mechanism for that season. All right. But truly, I can't remember the last time I washed dishes now. I can't. Okay, except I just walk there, okay, clean. Something is there, clean it. There are times I'm there. There are times I even drop my place. So you say, watch this one today, and I will stay there. But you see, it started training me from then. Is that okay? All right. So you just realize that your wife is a bit disorganized, but you, there is your secretary in the office, very organized. And then I think, tell you about it. Organized. But do you understand? No, get home. If you are the one with the strength, all right, help her be organized. Don't start with complaining. Praise her strength and help the organization. Do you understand? And that's what the Holy Spirit taught me to do. And please, I want to say, if you are getting house help, it's not as though you now go and get your secretary you're attracted to, like house help inside the house. So don't bring your attraction in the house. You say it's house help. I'm helping you. You want to help? No. Is that okay? Get someone who can do the job, but you won't be attracted to. Selah. Number 11. I'm going to 14, so I will run now. When it seems that this attraction has become an obsession, find a wisdom way to say it to your spouse. Because there are times you can get there. When the attraction is becoming what, please? An obsession. You know what an obsession is? All right? Now you know that if you are just given the opportunity, you will mess up. The only thing left is the opportunity to mess up. All right? What should you do? Find a way to tell your spouse. Now you don't tell your spouse and say, you don't tell your spouse, you know you are not organized. Oh, my secretary is very organized, so I'm attracted to my secretary. No, that's not how you say it. That's not how you say it. You don't have to say it by demeaning them. Don't talk about their weakness in order to express what you face your own issues. It is your issue, so open up on it. So you can begin, darling, I think I need help. If you have to go on your knees, if you have to prostrate to say it,
I think I need help. I just want you to know, I have crush, and I think it's fatal on my boss. There's a lady in my workplace that anytime she comes now, she brings two spoons. One for me and one for her. The day she doesn't even bring two spoons, she brings one and we share. Now she knows that, you know, you don't have to say your food is not sweet. But you know that one that you carry to the office, maybe you dash someone that, oh, I told you, possible only, hey, what is Gary? Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? All right, but you can come there and say no. And then there's someone that comes that you see the way. Do you want to get what I'm trying to say now? You know there are some people that even when they serve the food, when you open it, all the hunger will disappear. But there are some people, when they serve it, you look at, they bring out, how many of you in secondary school, you had, did you get what I'm talking about now? You have children who come from certain homes that, Toba Shionje Mobai, the smell of it. You, when you open your, you have to open the cover small. The smell must not really go out. Because you're I look where I don't you. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? I say it's not my genlewa. Do you get the point there? I just back in share what money. Alright. In fact, I'll back out to Gilo school. Do you get what I'm trying to talk about? I'm not saying that they are not good meals. Let's share the grace. Can we stop here?
Yes, sir.
I believe you've learned something.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So don't make your spouse feel less. Because your spouse is not the one. You see, when you share with your spouse, eventually you'll get to that issue. Yes, I'm coming to 12. Eventually you get to that issue. And when you get to that issue, what will you realize? You are going to realize that your spouse also now start improving because they will wake up to it most likely. And then your spouse can also help you out of that obsession. Is that clear now? Be sincere with yourself. Number 12. Avoid friends and conversation that triggers or condones such action. Avoid friends or conversations that triggers and condones such an action. Avoid friends and conversations. You know, there's a company you can be in that, and all the devil needs to sow is a seed. Do you understand? Let me tell you a story. Because some people can even do it innocently. I should take the point again. Avoid friends and conversations that trigger or condone such actions. Avoid the friends and conversation that triggers or condones such actions. Let me explain it to you. You know, the Bible says that walk with the wise and you become wise, right? Proverbs 13:20 in TPT. Proverbs 13:20 says, if you want to grow in wisdom, spend time with the wise. Then walk with the wicked and you eventually become just like them. All right, if you have friends who sow the seed of infidelity in you, block them. That's why you have the block button. Do what? Block them. They're always talking nonsense. Block them. Now listen. And sometimes they are not necessarily even. I've been in a situation before that the person was just being playful. And I know the person. That the person would never condone such. But I want to tell you how powerful a seed can be sown. I was attending a conference. All right. And then as I walked into that, during the break, I just saw a young girl that had preached in their church many years ago. I've told you this story. So, preached in their church many years ago. The girl recognized me. I didn't recognize her again. You know when it is a teenage girl. But now I think she's already a core member. So there is a lot of shape, a lot of change, and a lot of shape. The teenage girl has evolved. Do you get what I'm saying? So I saw her. I said, Pastor, tell me, uncle, tell me, uncle, tell me. Ah, I didn't know. How are you? How are you doing? I said, okay, this person knows me. So I was talking with her. Hey, how are you doing? Hope you're doing great. Oh, what's your name? Another. Ah, it's me. Oh, high five. And we just spoke. All right, then we exchange contacts. And I was walking away. Another person who's a mature person was there, a friend of mine, just said, I will tell Pastor Ronke that you are talking to girl. I laughed over it. Really, we laughed the place. Say, I will tell Pastor Ronke that you are talking to girl. We laughed over it. She didn't mean anything. But do you know when I got to my seat? I went to myself, wow, really? I'm alone here. I'm on here, fine. I'm telling you, the devil will use any seed. And I just laughed. I said, devil, shut up, shut up, shut up. Do you get the point? All right. He can use any. All the devil needs is what? Is an entry. Is an entry. Okay? Is an entry. I want to say to someone, maybe you are single, I don't know, or you are married. There is someone's status that you are now stalking. on social media, you just like looking at their status. Warn yourself. Block it. Block it. Is that okay? Block it. Number 13. Step up your spiritual strength. What should you do? Yes. Step up your spiritual strength. Sometimes you have to fast to subdue the flesh. You see, let me tell you the honest truth. As a man or as a person, if you realize that now when you go out, you just start seeing different sizes. All right? Go and subdue your flesh. Declare a fast for yourself. Do you understand? Declare a fast for yourself. Just take a fast. 3 days. All right? What's happening is that the flesh is getting one ascendancy. Once the flesh is getting ascendancy, it means it's time for you to retreat. All right? So step up your spiritual realm. You have to mortify. Thank you. You have to subdue the flesh. All right? So you have to step it up. All right? Step up your spiritual strength. Is that okay now? And then you enjoy grace. Number 14. Start now with accountability. What should you do? Go and confess. I'm struggling with this. And you tell someone who can handle it. Tell someone who is mature enough. And best person is always your pastors, isn't it? I'm struggling with this, sir. This is what is happening to me at the moment. Confess. Go and say the truth. So you can be helped. So that someone can track you. All right? Is that not that guy you spoke about that you are celebrating so glowingly on your status? What's the meaning of that word that you use now? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? All right? Start accountability now. Don't wait. Don't wait. All right? Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. I'm telling you the truth. I'm that sincere with Pastor Ronke when we talk. I can tell her, if I go out today and I come back, or anything happens, and I see that, these eyes look some way, or a thought dropped, what do I do? I come and say, darling, thoughts come while lonely when I saw so and so. I say, help my mind. You see, the moment I say that to her, what has happened to me? I've been helped. All right, I say, and I learned from my spiritual father. We tell mom, we say, this thing, let's pray. Pray for me. But it's as simple as that is, you are drawing strength. Is that all right? Were you blessed this morning?
Yes.
Were you blessed this morning?
Yes.
All right. I'm sure it has come in its simplicity.
Yes, sir.
And whatever it is that you are going through, all right, please lean in on the Lord and follow those 14 principles. If you follow it, no strange flame can erupt in your life or in your marriage. Can we bow our heads and pray? Father, we come before you this morning in simplicity of heart. Father, thank you for your word that has come. We ask today in the name of Jesus that concerning every single one of your children, let your light shine upon them.
Amen.
Father, we are delivered in this house from strange affections,
Amen.
From strange attractions,
Amen.
From strange flames,
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. If there is anyone who is struggling with it today, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus for strength to overcome. For strength to overcome. For strength to overcome. We give you glory, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Glory be to God.
Thank you for listening to us. We believe you have been blessed. For more messages and inquiry, check www.ngcc.church. God bless you.